At the Oasis, we're going to do a message, and I called it Victory Over Temptation. Okay, Victory Over Temptation. And the idea being, if we can get victory over temptation, we never get to the other part, right? Okay, temptation leads to something. And so if we can get victory over temptation, and I believe, and I'll show you in the scripture where we have been empowered to do just that, that we have victory over temptation. So we'll get into it. Let's press into the Word of God. Father, we love you this morning. We're grateful for the blessing of your love and your grace for us that you have poured out through Jesus, the miraculous power, and through your Holy Spirit, this power to overcome and to live this life that you've called us to. And I pray this morning, Lord, let it rise up within us, Lord, that we understand what you've done in our lives. We've understand what you have accomplished, and that, Father, we just live on your shirt tail, Lord, that we just hang on to you and cleave to you and your strength and allow you to do what you want to do. We praise you for it in Jesus' name. We say, amen. Amen. So a practical message. You know, sometimes we need to be reminded of our faith and be built back up. And other times we need practicality. We need something that's going to give us some, you know what, almost the how-tos. We're gonna how-to and let Jesus be the how. But we're going to how-to and kind of get into some of the, a little more of the details of letting that happen in our life. Okay, I believe it'll instill a hope in you for victory over whatever. Okay, you fill in the blank. Okay, each of you have got something that you've been struggling with or some area of your life, and you're thinking, you know what, I don't know that I'll ever get through that. I don't know that I'll ever get over it. I've encountered a lot of Christians over the years, and many, even though they may not outwardly say it, inside they have grabbed onto a lie that the devil fed them that says, this is as good as it's ever going to get in this particular area of your life. Okay, whether it be addictions or poverty or, you know, lust or just whatever it is, there's something that they always feel like I'm always struggling with this. I always have. I probably always will. I remember anybody read the, and I forget the author, but there's a book out about overcoming temptation and lust and that stuff. And the author of it had asked and interviewed a gentleman that was 86 years old on his deathbed in a hospital. And he said, the one regret I've always had is I never got victory over lust, you know, and pornography. And the guy was 86 years old. And so, you know, you some people are in that where you feel like, you know, I've had this, I'm probably going to have it and struggle with it until I'm 86 or whatever it is. It might be, you know, an anger issue that, you know, you have trouble not getting to that boiling point. Or, you know, like I said, it might be the poverty. Or it might be maybe you exaggerate your stories, okay? Kind of white lie, fib kind of stuff. And you kind of exaggerate. And maybe you like to tell people about other people, okay? They call it gossip, you know? And maybe that's something that you've always been prone to. Your mom was Miss Know-Everything. And so you just feel like, man, that's just the way I'll probably be the rest of my life too. Maybe it's things like putting people down. Okay, some people are puffed up. They got a little pride issue. They don't even realize they're doing it, but they'll put other people down because it puffs them up. Okay, and put them down and it makes them feel better. And, you know, some people don't think they'll ever get victory over these. They're kind of like aloof goals or long-term goals that maybe someday, somehow, I'll get to that. Maybe someday, somehow, I'll get over that. Okay, and they kind of put that out there as a long-term goal. Okay, well, I have some good news for you, that there is victory in Jesus. Okay, none of those things or any fill in the blank that you filled it in with are too difficult for him to overcome. In fact, he already did what he needed to do to give you everything you need that pertains unto life and godliness. Okay, that's scripture. He said, behold, I've given you all things that pertain unto life and godliness. He has already given us that ability and that capacity to be able to do that. So today, really what I want to do is confirm that for you and confirm how you release that power that's already in you. Because it's in you. He's already given that to you. And it's a matter of allowing that to be your reality instead of believing what the devil tells you that you can't do it. It's up to you and your own willpower. It's up to you and your own strength. And we know the lie of that, right? I mean, if we could do it on our own strength, Jesus wouldn't have had to die, right? We could have just kept the law perfectly. but we could. And so Jesus came, and that's where that comes from. Let's start with the scripture. First, in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, as we get going, first I want you to know you're not alone. So let's read this. It says, "Wherefore, let him that thinks he stands take heed, lest he falls. For there is no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that which you're able, but he will with the temptation also make a way to escape that you may be able to bear it." Okay? Bear it. Okay? You're going to bear it. What does that mean? Okay? If you look it up in the Greek, it means to come out from underneath. Okay? If you are going to be able to bear something, you are going to come out from underneath whatever it is. Okay, if you think about it like a like in a wrestling match. Anybody ever watch wrestling before? I was a wrestler, you know. I'll leave it right there. I was a wrestler, okay? And so I understand wrestling, but on a wrestling match, you get into it, they'll be going back and forth, and when one guy gets the other guy down on his back, okay, that's the goal. You get his shoulder blades to touch for a count of three, and the match is over, right? If you think about being underneath something and being able to bear it, that means you're going to be able to come out from underneath it. Now, in wrestling, they call it a reversal, okay, or an escape, okay, where that guy on the bottom, he's just about pinned, and all of a sudden, he flips his leg up and whatever, and they roll around on the mat, and now it's the opposite. The other guy's on top, and it's like, wow, what just happened? It happened so fast. Or sometimes it'll be like an escape, they call it, where the guy is almost down and all of a sudden he flips around and up and now they're both standing upright on the mat and the guy gets a point. He gets a point for what they call an escape. Okay, the Bible is saying here that there is no temptation that has taken you but that which is common to man. Okay, well, that term for taken you, again, it's in the Greek, it's a passive form of grab hold of. Okay, now there's different ways of grabbing hold of someone. In the passive sense, it means to grab hold of their attention. Okay, not so much physically. Now, I don't want the microphone to squeal, but I could come out here and I could grab hold of Margie physically, or I could just clap in front of her and I got her attention, right? That there's two different ways of grabbing hold of. When this scripture says, let him that thinketh take a stand, lest he fall, there has no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. It just means that it has grabbed your attention. Okay, it doesn't mean it has you down on the mat pinning you. Okay, you're not out of the picture yet. You're still at a point where it's a temptation. Now, that means that in my wrestling scenario, I would think of it like, one guy gets knocked down to the mat, he falls on his back, all the other guy has to do is jump on him, but he hasn't jumped yet. Okay, he's still up there and I just fell down. I can still get up. I can jump out from underneath that, grab hold of, you know, I can jump out from underneath that and not be pinned or put down in that way. Okay, now the passage saying that there is no temptation that has presented itself to you or no temptation that has taken up some of your thoughts and attentions that is not common to man. Okay, and that's, you know, that's when I was praying the last couple weeks, I thought, you know, about what to preach, and the Lord kept saying that temptation that is common to man. And I thought, what does that mean? Okay, to be common to man, does that just mean it's something that just happens all the time, or what is it? Common here means after the manner of mankind or human. Okay? So every human being on this earth that is or was or is yet to be will have things that grab hold of their attention and distract them from the ways of God. That's going to try to lure you away from God. Your opponent, in other words, is always going to be trying to get position over you. Okay, he's going to try and wait for that moment when you fall on your back so he can pounce on you and take grab hold of from attention to a physical grabbing on. Okay, that's his goal. Common or human temptation then, common temptation, can only overtake a common or human part of a man or woman. Okay, now follow me on this. This is one of the most important things of the whole message. that sort of a common temptation that is it is trying to get dominance over every one of us can only take part of that part of you which is common or human. Okay? Now, if you know how you're made up in the spiritual realm, the way God says it, His Word says it in several places, you are made up of a physical body, you have a soul, okay, that's your mind, your will, your emotions, and you have a spirit, okay, body, soul, and spirit, three parts, just like Father, Son, Holy Ghost, just like the temple was the outer court, the inner court, and the Holy of Holies, you are the body, a soul, and a spirit. Okay, that's the deepest part of you. It is your core. It is where Jesus Christ lives for the believer. Okay, the only part that that common temptation can have control over or to be able to manipulate is the common part of you. That is your body, okay, your soul, that your mind. It can try to influence that part of you, but it cannot influence your spirit. Okay, your spirit is one with God. It is connected with Him. It understands God. It relates to God. And the devil cannot get into that part and manipulate that. Okay? Get that inside of you. Flesh and blood can be overcome. The natural part of man or woman can be overcome. But the Spirit of God within you is not tempted by the things of the world. Okay, it is not tempted by the things of the world. It has no lure, no pull on your spirit. Okay, Jesus said that the spirit is ready, the spirit is willing, the spirit is able, but the flesh, He said, is weak. Right? But you are not made up of just flesh and blood. You are body, soul, and spirit. Okay, and your spirit part means that you are one-third Holy Ghost. Okay, that means you're one-third holiness. Okay, it's already there. God has already given that to those who have believed and received on Him. So the scripture also says that God is faithful. God is faithful, and He has provided the power of the Holy Spirit to overcome every single situation that will try to grab hold of your attention in a negative way. Okay, the same solution for accessing this power to overcome temptation is the same solution that God gave you for overcoming the sin that often results from temptation. How many of you saved yourself from sin? Anybody? They can say, that's me. Yep, I did everything perfect. I worked real hard. It all worked out good. Okay, we did not save ourselves from sin. Jesus Christ saved us from sin, right? Jesus Christ overcame not only sin, but He overcame temptation. Because temptation leads to sin. And the Bible says that Jesus Christ was tempted in every way, just like you and me. Okay, all those same temptations were there, but the Bible goes on to say that temptation, when it is conceived, it becomes sin. Okay, now if you guys, I think we're all mostly adults and kind of figuring out what's going on, but when something is conceived as a baby, that's the beginning point. That's where it begins. It begins to form and grow and develop. Okay, temptation has to be conceived. It has to conceive sin. Jesus kept it over here. Okay, Jesus kept it on the temptation part, and it never conceived sin. Okay, that's how He was without sin. He never sinned the entire time. So He not only overcame sin, but He overcame the entrance point to sin, which is temptation. This is your master. This is the Jesus that we serve. He overcame the whole thing. Look at James chapter 1. Says that every man, and I'll explain more on this later, every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and he's enticed. Then when lust has conceived, it brings forth sin. And sin, when it's finished, brings forth death. Okay, Jesus overcame temptation for you just like He overcame sin for you. He did what you could not do, in other words. He was tempted in all points just like you, but He never once let it conceive sin. Okay, He overcame sin every single time. He never sinned. He never let it get to that point. Now, the book of Hebrews in the Bible goes on and on and on telling about how and why Jesus is better than anything that has been or ever will be. And it's a great book, a great read. The first four or five chapters of Hebrews get into all the things that tell about how he is superior. He is superior to the prophets of old. Okay, he is superior to the angels. Okay, if you look at your Bible, and you'll have to do it right now, but just look at the headings in your Bible, and it probably says that. Superior to angels, superior to prophets, superior to this, superior to that. It says he is superior because of his deity. Okay, then it goes on to say he is superior because of his humanity. Okay, he was God in the flesh, right? He came and lived among us. It says he is better than Moses. He is better than the law. He is better than the Aaronic priesthood. He is better than the Melchizedek priesthood. And he is better than you and I. Okay, amen? Okay, he did it. He did what we could not do. Okay, that's why we praise him. That's why he's our Lord. That's why he is our Savior, because he did what we could never have done, what we could never do. Okay, and yet he was tempted in all points like as you and I. The Bible says that. That's scripture. He said he was in all points tempted like you and me, and yet without sin. Okay, so he went through and he endured that first part, and before it ever conceived sin, he figured out or he knew how to overcome that to keep it from going to the next level. And I believe that he had lots of opportunities in his life for sin to be conceived. Okay, for anger to rise up. You think about some of the things. One, I think I pulled some scriptures out of Luke, but he was mocked, right? Mocked. Let's see if we got a scripture in Luke 22. Says, and the men that held Jesus mocked him and smote him. Okay, smacked him up, hit him around, beat him, whipped him. You guys know the story. Luke 23:36 says, and the soldiers also mocked him. Okay, coming to him and offering him vinegar, and they were mocking him as they did this. Now, most of us, if you've ever been mocked, made fun of, poked fun at, okay, it's unfortunate what happens, and they show about kids that are bullied and picked on too much, and we've been dealing with a lot in that in society lately. But you know what most of us do at some point. When someone is mocking you or smacking you around or whatever, you're going to defend yourself. You're going to rise up. And if nothing else, you're going to beat them up with your words. You're going to smack them right back, saying, you call me a loser, you're a bigger loser. You know, it's going to go back and forth, and you begin to get that going on. Jesus was punished for something he didn't even do. And so all that they were saying, not only was it a lie, but he was also being accused of all the stuff that he didn't do. Now, if somebody accuses you of something you didn't do, what do? You rise up and defend yourself. You're going to stand up and say, wait a minute, that's not right. I'm not that way. That's not who I am. And yet all this stuff goes on in his life, but he did not give in to the temptation to smack back or to, you know, verbally lash out back at him in anger. Okay, now during his 33 and a half years of life, we know that he was tempted. Okay, and I know he was tempted with pride. Anybody remember the whole leading into the wilderness? The devil takes him on a little tour and says, you can have all this. Just bow down and worship me. Okay, luring him, trying to get him to go with pride. He tempted him, but Jesus didn't give in to it. Okay, he could have, by his miraculous powers, he could have abused what God had given him. How many people do this today? Abuse the power that's been given to him and uses signs and wonders and miracles and just trash anybody that ever came against him. Okay, you know, we know there's people that turned into a pillar of salt. Some people were burned up, all these things in the Bible. Jesus had that authority to say, poof. You know, they're done, right? Oh, you're going to make fun of me? Poof. He had that capacity. He could have burned them up. He could have destroyed the Pharisees and the scribes and the people that rose up against him, but he didn't do that. Okay, even James and John at one point were used to tempt Jesus because the Samaritans wouldn't let Jesus into their village. They said, we don't want him, keep him out. And so James and John, their human part, got offended, and it rose up, and they said, Lord, you want to just call fire down from heaven and destroy them? And Jesus says, no, I've come not to destroy, but to save. And Jesus kind of, you know, appealed back to them and said, nope, that's not what I'm here for. Okay, the disciples' pride rose up. That was their human part that rose up and said, should we just destroy them? You know, call fire down, let it rain on them, they'll get it. But he didn't do that. Okay, they were offended, but Jesus didn't go down that road. He didn't let it get to that part, get to that point for Jesus. Here's another one that I know that he was tempted at, that all of us, especially the men, can probably relate to, and that's lust. Okay? Now, there's Bible scholars have said that they think Mary Magdalene was probably pretty hot. Okay, and she spent a lot of time hanging out and, you know, coming to be where he is and all that stuff. He had the opportunity to lust after women. I know that he did. Okay? They you know, even if you know the story of the woman, they got caught in adultery. They said she was caught in the very act. Now, you put two and two together, she might not have been fully clothed by the time they drug her to where Jesus was to have him accuse her. So again, he had that opportunity to lust after her. They had harlots, they had prostitutes, they had hookers, they had dancers, they had all this, the same, you know, immodesty that we might have in our society. They had some of that going on. We think, oh boy, Jesus never had to deal with that, but he did. He had that same problem, that same temptation to look at or to lust after these gals, and yet he never once, not once, did he do that. Okay? And that is who lives inside of you. Okay? So we get to the point. Now that will connect with your spirit, and your spirit connects with Jesus, and your spirit says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Okay, greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. I can do this because your spirit is going to connect with Jesus in that way. Okay, but what is the root of temptation? Okay, what where does that stuff come from? I want to address this, and I'll probably just end with this section here and not get into a little bit more. I want to talk more about the spirit and the soul and that part of it, but maybe a different day. But where does the root of sin and temptation come from? Okay, some have thought that God lays sin out in front of you. He'll lay a temptation out in front of you to see if you will take the bait or not. Okay, now a lot of you are shaking your head. Some of you have experienced this personally. It's sort of like, and this is what people think, it's like God is testing me to see if I'm maturing spiritually. Will I take the bait that I, you know, or would I not take the bait that I once took before? Okay, is God testing me to see if I'll take this bait and indulge in something that I know that I'm not supposed to? Okay, but that sort of thinking that God is laying that out in front of you is erroneous. It is incorrect. Okay, it is not right thinking. Okay, God is not the author or the source of your temptations to sin, ever. Just get that into you. God is not the author or the source of your temptations to sin. He sent his son Jesus Christ to die for your sin, not to lead you into more of it. Okay? Get that. Jesus came to set us free, not to lead us into temptation or lead us into bondage. A lot of you know the scriptures in Matthew that some of you grew up memorizing it, that, you know, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Help us forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Jesus wouldn't tell you to pray for that and then expect you to be led into temptation by God, right? God isn't going to lead you into a mess only so he can lead you out of it. Okay, our government's good at that. They will create a problem so they can fix the problem. But Jesus didn't do that. Okay, God didn't do that for you. He doesn't lead you into sin so that he can show that, you know, he's going to deliver you from that. You know, in fact, the Bible tells us very plainly that God is not the one that tries to lead you astray. Okay, in James 1:13, we'll go back to James. It says, let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God or tempted by God, for God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempts he any man. Okay, this is how I know that that spiritual part of you is not tempted to sin, because that is the God in you. That's the Holy Spirit of God within you. Okay, the Bible says we are the temple of the Holy Spirit. We've got Him in us. That part of you is never tempted with evil. Neither will God then use evil to try to tempt you or your flesh or your carnal part of your body. He will not do that to you. In order to see victory over sin and temptation in your life, you have to have the right thinking about where temptation comes from. Know that God will not tempt you from evil. Okay? If you think that temptation to sin or to stray, that God might be testing you in some way, you may think that it's somehow a good thing then to have in your life, that it's good to be tempted. Oh boy, yeah, God says, give me another chance to prove myself. Okay, that is erroneous thinking. It's not right. God is not laying that out there to see if, oh, will he overcome it this time? Oh, no, he failed again. Okay, that's a wrong way of thinking. If I think that God is laying it out in front of me, here's what happens. God lays something out in front of me. Oh, there's a gorgeous gal out here doing a car wash with a bikini on, and God's just tempting me to see if I'll look at it. And oh, I looked, I've sinned. Sorry about that, God. The whole thing was from God, and I looked to God and asked him to be sorry, right? But what if you turn that around and see it for what it really is? What if I see that as a sin that is not from God? That is not God tempting me. That is the enemy. That's the devil. He is tempting me to sin and to fall and to trip me up. Okay, now if I fall, I still go to God for the solution. If we fall, we have an advocate with the Father, but I'm not going to go to him and say, God, I messed up your temptation. I'm going to put the blame on that stupid devil that caused the problem to begin with, right? So we don't want to blame God for stuff that the devil's doing over here, okay? We don't want to go that kind of a direction. Okay, the definition of being tempted is to be put to the test, to be tried or proven to be legit. Okay, that's to be tempted. It's to be tried or proven to be legit. 1 Kings chapter 10, I don't think I have that scripture, Bob, but I just know that there's a story in there about the queen Sheba. Okay, and she begins to hear about, you know, these great things that Solomon is doing, and his fame is spreading throughout the land, and Solomon has got this great wisdom from God. And she begins to hear about that. So the Bible says she actually goes to Solomon to tempt him, to test him. And it literally says she went to prove him by asking him tough questions. Okay, she was going to try to trip him up, try to tempt him or prove him. That's what it means to tempt. Okay, to prove him by asking those hard questions. So we have to see the evil temptations for what they really are. God is not the one that is testing you to see if you're strong enough. God is not testing to see if you're legit. Are you really a Christian? The devil is. He hates you. He wants to trip you up. He's going to lay it out in front of you and say, take this bait, take this. And if you take it, you know, boy, you feel like a loser. You feel bad, whatever. He's going to make you feel guilt and all that other stuff. And if you don't, he's going to come at you a different angle. He's going to try to find a different way to bring it upon you. Okay, the devil is the one that is tempting to see how strong you really are. Okay, now I don't know about you. I don't want to give my allegiance to the devil. So if I know that it's coming from him and I have that mindset that, you know what? That's not God trying to lay a temptation out from me. That's the enemy. I'm not bowing down to that. I'm not giving in to that. I don't want to go that direction. I don't want to give my allegiance and call my master, even for a moment, the devil. Okay? Because as soon as he tempts me and I give into it, I have sort of made him my master for that moment. Okay? It's like giving that time, that section of time in your life over to him just for that moment. I bow down to him for the moment. Okay? It doesn't mean you're not a Christian, or don't quote me wrong or anything on that. But I'm just saying it's like giving in to him for that time. And that's not, I don't know about you, but that's not how I want to live life. That's not what I want to do. Okay? The Bible says that you resist the devil and he will flee from you. Okay, over time, he's going to try. Pretty soon, you're in that routine that I talked about before, church, and you just continue on doing your thing, and you're praising God, and you're going through it, and pretty soon, he's like, you know what, this isn't working, and the devil gets frustrated and begins to back off, or try a different angle altogether, or go bug somebody else. Okay, now, we don't want to be blaming God for something that the devil is doing, and that's what we do if we think that God is the one that is testing us with evil. Okay, we don't want to do that. I think I got that point across. Likewise, thinking that everything that comes your way is from the devil. Okay, because you could put it in that category. Oh man, everything is bad. You know, I'm not going that direction. Oh no, you want to give me money? Nope. That's just God trying to, you know, the devil's trying to trick me. And you're blaming the devil, putting everything out there that everything is the devil. You're going to resist some of the blessings of God if you get into that mindset. The other side is also true. And that's what I've been going against this whole morning. If we're saying that everything is God, then all those temptations, we're just saying, oh yeah, that was God's idea. Yep, this is God's idea for me to have this or to go through this problem or whatever. Now, I'll give you some advice, and I didn't tell my wife I was going to do this, but I asked my wife what she felt like, what do you think the key to overcoming temptation is? You know, as I'm writing, I just like to get a little opinion. And her answer, I said, what do you think the key to overcoming temptation was? And she says, it's spiritual discernment. That's how we avoid getting into situations where we will even be tempted. Okay? Spiritual discernment. See it for where it's coming from. Okay? Don't give credit to the devil for something God's doing. Don't give credit to God for something the devil's doing. Don't blame him. Okay? That answer was right on target. It is. Spiritual discernment is a key to that moment called temptation before it conceives into sin. If you can see that temptation, like Jesus, right? Everywhere he walked, people would come up to him, or, you know, a woman coming to schmooze him or whatever. He could see it for what it was. He acknowledged it. Or somebody would try to offer him money to leave town or whatever it was. You know, you guys put the scenario together. He would see it for what it was because of spiritual discernment and never give in to the temptation and let it conceive sin. Okay, think about this. Got some scenarios for you. Think about you have a... maybe somebody at work, you're somebody of the opposite sex that begins to flirt with you, okay? And they're coming on to you and they're tempting you to stray and to have an affair with them and to leave your husband, leave your wife, or just even if it's just for a moment, you're out on a trip or whatever. And you see that and you tell yourself, no way. I see that for what it is. That's nothing but the devil. He's trying to tempt me to ruin my marriage, to ruin my life. I say no, and you walk away. You successfully steer clear and avoided that temptation altogether. It never conceived sin. Okay? But then, 2 days later, your boss calls you into the office and says, boy, do I got a deal for you. I have a job for you, a promotion that'll pay a ton of money. And yeah, it involves going on the road for a week at a time, and you have to travel with that person that was flirting with you, but it's still a ton of money. And you say, oh, this is a great blessing from God. Look at all the blessing. God is blessing me with this huge amount of money to go do this job, and yet you don't see that the devil just used a completely different angle to get you into that same compromising situation. Spiritual discernment says, I'm not taking it at surface level. I'm going to discern beyond what is on the surface to see what is behind it. Okay? That's the devil being a little more sly about leading you away. If he couldn't snare you with that blatant temptation, okay, now he's going to take a different angle and appeal to your lust for money to get you into that uncompromising situation. Okay, see, just before James told us that the temptation to sin doesn't come from God, he reminds us that a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Okay, being double-minded is the opposite of being single-minded. Okay, not, you know, single-minded is where you're not flip-flopping back and forth about where the temptation comes from. Okay, but you live your life knowing that every good and perfect gift comes from heaven, from God. Okay, and wisdom, if you're using the wisdom and discernment, you begin to see past that surface level blessing to what is beyond it. Okay, if there is an evil or harmful outcome involved in what is laid out in front of you, it is not from God. And let me explain this. Here's the best scenario I can come up with. You're out camping. Okay? You've got a fire ring, right? We build them out of rocks, and some of them they have ready-made ones, and you've got a big fire built in that. And now all of a sudden, you've got financial needs. You're out camping because that was the cheapest thing you could think of to do. And you've got financial needs, and now all of a sudden, you've got this big fire going, and you look down in it, and down at the bottom of that fire ring is a gold coin. Okay, man, that's exactly what we need to be blessed. And so, if you don't use spiritual discernment, oh, it's a gold coin. And you'll reach in to grab that gold coin, and what happens? Your hand gets burned and deformed and scarred up. And now, what people go on to do, they pull that coin out, they get it, they use it for their need, and then they explain it to people that, yeah, I know my hand is all scarred up and all deformed and wounded, but this is what I had to go through to get the blessing of God. They'll try to convince you and themselves that God punished them or had them go through all that pain and suffering to get to that goal. Spiritual discernment would tell you, let the fire burn itself out. Spiritual discernment says, be patient. That gold will still be there when the fire burns itself out. Go get a bucket of water. Put the fire out. You don't have to go through that to get to the blessing of God when you're listening to the Spirit of God, because He will begin to say, wait a minute, there's a better way. And God will begin to show you what that is. James also said that if you lack wisdom, to ask God for it and He will give it to you, right? It's all in this same chapter if you want to go read that in James. Okay, it's all in there. He's telling you, if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God to give it to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. And then he goes on to describe this stuff about where sin and temptation comes from and all these different things that go on. Okay, we don't want to be double-minded. Okay, we want to be single-minded, not blaming God for the evil in our life and not blaming the devil for God and what God is doing, or giving him credit for something and trying to pass that off. Okay, you know, I think I'm going to end right there, but there's a misconception out there about the strength of sin and temptation over your flesh, thinking that you don't have the capacity, but I'm telling you, you do have the capacity to overcome sin and temptation. Jesus walked in a way, if you remember that, think about it this way. He walked not just overcoming sin. He walked overcoming temptation. He was tempted in all points just like we were. It's not a sin to be tempted. It only becomes a sin when it conceives, when you give in to it. So he even took it that step further back and was perfect in all of his ways. That is who lives on the inside of you. That's who's in your heart right here and right now. Okay, today I'm giving you good news, because all that the world has to offer, all the temptations it could possibly throw your way, is no match for the power of the Holy Spirit that's in you. Okay, you are the temple of the Holy Ghost. Okay, if you miss the mark, yes, you have an advocate with your Father. Okay, and that's what Jesus Christ said. If you miss it, I'm here for you, bro. I'm praying for you. I'm right there. I know what you just went through, and I will advocate that, Father, they did. They went through it, but look at them now. They've turned their back on sin again. They're going down the right path, and He's right there with us. 1 John says that greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. Okay, God has granted you victory over all the distractions of this life, and He has provided a way out from under all those temptations before they get down on top of you, before they begin to conceive. He provides that way out of that. and that is through his Holy Spirit. Jesus said, in the world you'll have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Okay, and the scripture we read before the service says, we're thanking God because we had the victory in Jesus Christ, because who is he that overcomes the world but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God. That's who we have. That's who's in us. He is greater, more superior, stronger than anything the devil has to offer. Use that gift that God has given you of spiritual discernment. Just walk in that, and if you lack it, ask God for wisdom, and he will give you that wisdom. He'll show you how to stop a temptation before it gets down on you and before it conceives. Praise God. Father, we're praising you this morning. We exalt the name of Jesus, our Lord and our Savior. You are the King, the Almighty God. We love you and praise you. We just thank you so much for what you've done for us on our behalf, Lord, that you have accomplished all that needed to be done for us. You did it on our behalf. You did it for us so that we could live in victory here on this life, Lord. We're praising you. Thank you for your love. Thank you for the kindness and the compassion that you still bestow upon us. Thank you for your the infilling of your power into our lives that allows us to walk in your anointing, to walk in wisdom, and to walk in spiritual discernment. Father, I pray if anyone here needs that, that they will ask of you and that you will give it to them freely, not holding anything back, as you empower them with your Holy Spirit. Lord, we love you, we praise you, and we thank you in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, your Son and our Savior. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. 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 Praise God.